Well, good morning, everyone. So good to be here again, and we continue on. We're involved in the battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. We've been discovering that as we've been sharing these messages along the way. I really like that song that we just sang about take my life and I'll give it all to you. One of the things that I've discovered in the Christian life is simply this: sometimes we are nervous or afraid or unsure about whether we're saved or whether we want to give our whole lives to the Lord, because we're looking for something that may be a feeling or an experience. Yes, it's possible that when you come to know the Lord, you have an emotional experience. It's possible that when you come to know the Lord, that you have a sense of relief because the burden of sin is gone out of your life. But ultimately, it's about what you decide. When you got up this morning, you decided to put on the shirt that you're wearing. Yeah? You only got one shirt. Yeah, that'd be right. It's come to camp. Yeah. So you decided to put your shirt on. How does it feel? Does it feel special? Does it feel different? Does it give you a soft, wonderful feeling? And the answer is no, don't be silly. It's just a shirt. Well, I'll tell you, sometimes the salvation experience is just a matter of fact. It's what we've decided to do. I want to tell you this. I have decided to follow Jesus, and there'll be no turning back in my life. We're going to get to that on Friday morning. I want to challenge you about the no turning back concept. But to begin with today, I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read a few verses, and of course, this is a very well-known passage of Scripture about the full armor of God. And we could spend probably all week just on the armor of God and all the different parts of the armor and how they have meaning to us as Christians. But this morning, we're not going to do that. We're going to focus just on one thing. Just one. And that's why I brought the shields in this morning. Okay? I was going to bring them all in, but I couldn't sort of fit them all out the front here. Okay? So we've got some of the shields here. Okay? Captain America, I recognise that one. Okay. Woodland, I imagine that's one of the teams, is it? Okay. Yeah. And this one here, I really like this one. Okay. Whose is this one here? Whose is this one? Might be one of the primary school kids, is it? Okay. It's really nice. Love the decorations. Okay. We're going to focus on the shield this morning. The shield of faith. This is a message about the battle between you and I and the devil. If we know Jesus as our Savior, we're involved in a battle. It's the battle between my new nature and my old nature, my old sin nature. And oftentimes in human experience, even for those who are outside of Christ, those who aren't saved, a battle still goes on between doing what's right and perhaps not doing what's right. So we want to read together from Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, okay, is there any part of the armor that's more important or significant than any other part of the armor? And some would say, no, it's the full armor of God, and we have to understand that. Hang on. I get that, but look here. It says, above all. Now, when I see the phrase above all in this context, obviously the writer is making a greater emphasis about what he's about to say, because he uses the phrase above all. It's good to have the armor on. But above all, look what he says. The Apostle Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Who is the wicked one? Yeah. The devil, absolutely. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In this passage, do you see fancy feelings, feel good experiences? No, you don't. What do you see? Hard work, battle, tough times, perseverance, endurance. That's what it's like. Okay? But I tell you what, there's a great deal of joy that comes in that sort of lifestyle. You choose to follow Jesus. You know, we said from 1 Timothy, is it? If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. The devil doesn't like what you're doing. The devil doesn't like camp. The devil doesn't like the preaching time. The devil doesn't like scripture memory. The devil doesn't like your devotions. And what he will do, whether you like it or not, he will tempt you to be disruptive during those times. Yes, ma'am? Devil doesn't like anything but evil. I like that. Okay. The devil doesn't like anything but himself. Here, take one of these. You're absolutely right, man. The devil doesn't like anything except what's evil. Okay, well done. We need to think about the shield of faith. And I want to look at this. Go back into this passage here. Above all, see that? Is that verse 16? Above all, taking the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith for? Come on, speak up. To quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. So the shield is used to quench the darts. The darts are fiery and they come from the devil. Okay, got it? Darts, like arrows. Nasty little things. The battle for strength in the Christian life. The battle for strength in life generally. And if you still are at that point where you've not accepted the Lord as your Savior, I want to tell you, this battle is for you, and you will experience, if you like, the wiles of the devil in your life, but you'll have no power or means to be able to resist it. Yes, ma'am? Say again. That is the shape of Tasmania. Yep. My little soldier. Okay. You like him? Okay. The map of Tasmania. The message comes to you from Tasmania today. Okay. The battle for strength. These fiery darts, the devil fires at us all the time. And when he fires his fiery darts at those who are not Christian, when he fires his fiery darts at unbelievers, they just end up suffering what happens. They have no means to defend against the devil. We do. But I want to tell you this. The darts that he fires at us are not just ordinary darts. This is a metaphor. They are fiery darts. In other words, they're dangerous. They are things that need to be quenched. And if you don't quench them, they'll spread like wildfire. It's like weeds in the garden. When you go out into the garden and the weeds are just this big, you can just take two fingers and pull it out of the dirt, right? Throw it in the fire. But if you leave the weed in your garden and it grows this high, you can still pull it out if you grab it with both hands and tug on it. You can still pull it out. But what happens? It disrupts all the plants around it and it's a mess in the garden. And you've got to spend the next 15 minutes tidying up the garden. It's like that with the things in our lives. When there's things in your life that are not good, not righteous, if they're pulled out when they're tiny, solves the problem. If the dart is quenched when it first arrives on your shield, then it's not the same level of problem as if you leave the dart and don't bother with it. You say it doesn't matter. And all of a sudden within your life, and I'm speaking metaphorically, you have this fire that you don't seem to be able to control. It might be swearing. It might be wrong thoughts. It might be gossip or whatever it might be. The little things that cause a great deal of damage. And oftentimes in our lives, it's the little things that cause the most damage because we don't attend to them when they're little. We just forget it, don't worry, and it grows and makes a big mess. The darts are little things. In Galatians chapter 5, we read that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. When you make bread and you put leaven in the bread, the dough, expands. Okay? That's the image here. A little leaven is like a little sin. You'll have a little sin, all right, you don't do anything with it, it'll grow and get bigger and bigger. Dr. Paul White wrote a children's story. He says, little leopards become big leopards and big leopards kill. It's just an African story of children who found a little orphaned leopard and they brought it back into the tribe, into the town, into where people lived and had it as their pet. And everything was fine until such time as that little cub, that little leopard, a little boy fell over and skinned his knee, and the leopard licked the blood on his knee and he found the taste of blood, and all of a sudden the leopard was a killer. And the chief had to come and kill the leopard. So little leopards become big leopards, and big leopards kill, is the image that we want you to understand. A little sleep, Proverbs says, a little sleep, a little slumber, you know, it makes me lazy and unproductive. That's the idea, the laziness. A little member is the tongue. James talks about our tongue being a little member and does great damage. We say things that hurt people, okay, but the tongue is only such a little member in our body. We know also that Achan, in Joshua's day, it was only just a little bit of covetousness. It was only just some gold bars and silver bars and some clothes that he just buried in his tent. Hang on, Achan. If it was right, why did you bury them in the floor of your tent? Why did you hide them? Nasty business, isn't it? Okay. It was just a little lustful look in David's experience. When he looked out and saw Bathsheba bathing, he shouldn't have been there, he shouldn't have been looking. And that ended up leading to, at least, second-degree murder. Because David wanted Bathsheba as his own wife. She was already married to Uriah. And he said to the army chief, put Uriah in the front line. And when the enemy comes, get all the soldiers to step back away from Uriah and leave him out the front on his own, hoping he would get killed so he could take Uriah's wife for himself. That's pretty nasty, isn't it? All started with just a little look. A little folly, Ecclesiastes 10:1 says, and oftentimes just leads to all sorts of chaos. The little things. Here's what we know. Maybe Surely, Mr. Savage, surely, Roy, little bit of stuff doesn't hurt, right? Maybe just a little suggestive comment, you know, just a bit sort of smutty. Maybe a little resentment, doesn't really matter. I don't criticise everybody, it's just him, okay? Or maybe we just experiment just a little bit with drugs or alcohol or cigarettes or whatever it happens to be. A little gossip, that's not going to hurt, okay? Maybe just once or twice immodest dressing won't upset anybody. A little lie doesn't hurt anybody. Or jealousy, or cheating, or exaggeration even. Maybe just a little flirting is okay. Okay, it's really just quite innocent. Maybe a little cattiness, you know, talking behind their back, a little slander. It's fun, doesn't hurt, a little pride's okay. Yes? Yes? No. No. We need to resist the little things in our lives. Because remember, little leopards become big leopards, and big leopards kill. Dangerous stuff. The power of little things. In a big machine like the space shuttle, there's lots of little parts that make up aeroplanes and trains and cars and buses. They're made up of lots of little parts. And I need to tell you and explain to you, I'm going to describe an O-ring. O as in the letter O, an O-ring. An O-ring could be this big or could be this big or tiny. It's just a rubber ring, almost like an elastic band, except it's not elastic, it's rubber. And it's put into a join. If you put two pipes together, you put the O-ring in and put the other and screw it in, and the pressure of the nut then comes up against the O-ring and makes a permanent seal. Whatever liquid is in there now can't get out. It can't sort of seep out through the threads in the nut and bolt because the O-ring seals it off. It's just a seal. Understand? An O-ring. That's all what that's all they're called. They're worth about, most of them, worth about 20 cents. Okay? Costs you absolutely nothing to be able to buy this O-ring to seal your fuel line, perhaps, or something of that nature, or the exhaust panel, or whatever it is. The O-ring is used as a seal specifically on pipes where there's fluids and gases. In 1986, Space Shuttle Challenger took off and exploded 73 seconds after liftoff, and all seven crew members were killed. It was a horrible disaster. It really put the space and the space shuttle program back years. Okay. Here is this multi-million dollar spacecraft, probably with millions of parts, little parts, and great diligence in its manufacture, checked and checked and double-checked and checked and checked again to make sure that everything was exactly right. Challenger lasted 73 seconds after takeoff, and then kaboom, absolute disaster. The cause of that disaster, those seven people died because that space shuttle was destroyed because of one faulty little rubber O-ring. It was discovered that what happened was the O-ring in the pipe where the leak was and the fuel then exploded, the O-ring, instead of being an imperial measurement, like feet and inches, okay, it was metric, which meant it was probably a tenth of a millimetre smaller than the one that should have been in that pipe. And that was enough to spring a leak, the fuel line got onto the hot part of the engine, and the whole thing exploded. One tiny little O-ring destroyed the multi-million dollar spaceship and seven people's lives in an instant. The little things in your life can destroy you. You only need to have one little pointer, one little minute of irresponsibility, and it can be a huge disaster. It's the same with adults. A great deal of car accidents are because of one little error, one little slip up. It happens just about in every aspect of life. The issue here this morning, young people, is about the little things in your life. And you need to deal with the little things, because if you don't, hang on, little leopards become and big leopards. Got to remember it, okay? So we want to take on board this morning the fiery darts, the little darts that the devil shoots at us. We have our shield here this morning. We have, you know, the shield of faith. You know what? If I was the warrior, I'd want a bigger shield than this. Can I have one that goes from my feet to my head and from here to here and I can just hide behind it? Can I have one of them? Okay. Tell you what. The fiery darts. The first one is the fiery dart of doubt. We all suffer with this from time to time. Even now, 56 years as a Christian, there are times when I have doubts and I have to deal with them when they come in, confess them to the Lord and rely on His Word. Look, I'm not really sure if I want to be a Christian. Okay, that's all right. So I decide not to be a Christian, so you're happy to go to hell today? That's what you're saying. That's a disaster. You see the little things? Oh, I'm not really sure what I want to do. I'm not really sure whether I'm saved. I'm not really sure. I'll do it tomorrow. And you could end up being dead today. You don't get another opportunity. I know these are horrible things to talk about, but you're high school students. You are young adults. You can deal with these things. The doubt. Has God said? Satan cast the doubt into Eve's mind. Do you remember that? Right back there. We already read that earlier in the week from Genesis chapter 3. Surely, Satan said, surely you won't die. Surely it'll be okay. Don't worry, it won't hurt you. These are the doubts that Satan casts into our minds. You don't have to worry about it today. This idea of getting saved, don't worry about it today. You can do it tomorrow. Do it later. These are the little darts of doubt that Satan fires at us all the time. Thomas, do you remember him? And by the way, it's John chapter 20. I think earlier in the week when I shared my testimony, I said it was John chapter 19, but it's actually John chapter 20. And Jesus came and Thomas wasn't there. And then Thomas had these doubts. He said, unless I can put my fingers into the nail prints in his hand and put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. Jesus came back another day and said, here you go, Thomas. Here's my hands. Put your hand here. And Thomas confessed before the Lord, my Lord and my God. He had doubts. And Jesus said to him, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Blessed are you, Thomas. You've seen the resurrected Savior, and now you've believed. But more blessed are those who have not seen Jesus and have believed. You and me. We are the ones that are more blessed. We've not seen Jesus in the flesh. Anybody here seen Jesus in the flesh? No. Okay. And yet, many of us have believed. We are the ones that are more blessed, even than those of the early disciples who actually walked and talked with the Lord Jesus. The fiery darts. The fiery dart of deception. The fiery dart of deception. The devil deceived me, Eve said. The serpent deceived me. In other words, it wasn't my fault, Lord. It was the serpent. Okay? And we do this all the time. We get deceived by other ideas and ideologies. If we say we have no sin, 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, the Bible says we deceive ourselves. Okay, we're having ourselves on. Let no one deceive you. I want to tell you bluntly, sin is of the devil. And even if you go, well, I haven't sort of sinned much. James tells me this, that if you know what to do and you don't do it, then to you that is sin. Even to that extent, I want you to know and understand, Hebrews 3:13 expresses the idea, don't allow your heart to be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It doesn't matter, it's only a little thing, but little leopards become big leopards and big leopards kill. Say that with me. Little leopards become big leopards and remember it. Little sins, no thank you. This whole idea of deception. In Revelation chapter 12, Satan himself is called the deceiver of the whole world. It's the devil that convinces you it doesn't matter. It's the devil who convinces you that you're not sure. It's the devil who's coming to you and saying, it doesn't matter, don't do it now, wait till later. He is the deceiver. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, we read, the heart of man is desperately wicked above all things. It is deceitful. Okay? Means desperately wicked, always hankering to do the wrong thing. You say it's no big deal. It's really, Mr. Savage, come on. It's no big deal. It's just a little thing. Hang on. Hang on. Do you remember the O-ring in the Challenger? One tiny little part brought about a huge disaster. I don't think I can say it's just a little thing because little leopards. It won't affect me, surely not. You know, I can have some alcohol. It's okay. It's the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not drink alcohol. It just says don't get drunk. So that's okay. I'll have a few drinks. It's not going to affect me. I'm not going to become a drunkard. How do you think drunkenness begins? With the first drink. You get a taste for it. It goes on from there. Or whatever it happens to be. Someone at school brings you a cigarette, you know, a hand-rolled one, little thin one, one of those real special ones, you know, one of those ones. And you go, hey, go on, have a puff, have a puff. It won't hurt you, it won't hurt you. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you're addicted to Mary Jane. Common name for marijuana. It's a horrible thing. Destructive to the brain. It doesn't happen in the instance. It's a long-term condition. What difference will it make if I just sort of do it once? Do you remember the O-ring? Do you remember that little leopards? The next little dart is the fiery dart of destruction. You see, are you noticing these fiery darts are getting worse? Okay, doubt, deception, now destruction. The fiery dart of destruction. The thief, John chapter 10, verse 10, the story of the good shepherd. The thief comes to destroy. What is the devil's aim? To destroy. To destroy who? To destroy me. And it's not just Christians. His aim is to destroy everybody. If the whole world and all the human beings were dead, the devil would be happy. His whole plan is to thwart the purposes of God in any way he can. He sets himself up as an alternative to God and then tries to convince everybody that there is no God. It's called the theory of evolution. The devil comes to destroy. The thief comes to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. The abundant life, living for Jesus, I want to tell you, living for Jesus is the best life of all. Serving and following him. You wonder why I sing. Not every preacher comes to you and bursts into song halfway through the message. Just maybe one. You wonder why I sing. I never liked singing. I never wanted to sing. It was not a blokey thing to do. It's for the women. Funny that. Some of the richest and most prosperous singers in the world are actually men. I didn't want to sing. I didn't like to sing. But then I got saved. And I want to tell you this. He, that is God, has put a new song in my heart. Even praise to his name. It changed my life completely. And now I want to sing for him. Living for Jesus is the best life of all. And then there's the fiery dart of delay. Doubt. Deception. Destruction. And now delay. And you say, Mr. Savage, I thought they were getting worse. I can get that. Doubt. Deception, that's worse. Destruction, yeah, that's worse. But delay, how is delay worse than destruction? Let me tell you. Yeah. I think I'll do something about it. You know, this claim of the gospel, this walking with Jesus, this being fully committed to the Lord. I'll do something about it. Oh, yeah, look, I see the need. I will do something about it. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. The Bible says quite bluntly, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2, behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Right now. Right as I speak. Right now is the time for you to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I want to live for you. You never know just what's going to happen. There was a young woman at a school in America some years ago. Her name was Rachel Joy Scott. She went to Columbia High School. She was known in her school as a Christian. She loved the Lord and tried to talk to her friends and classmates about the Lord and live for him at school. She was quite well known as a Christian. One day, a young man from that school went nuts with a rifle and went to Columbine High School, started firing and shooting and killing people. Rachel was outside and she heard the gunfire. She went back into the school, or tried to go back into the school, even though she had been shot through her backpack, still alive. She struggled to get up the steps of the school to get in and warn more people inside the school building. Collapsed on the steps, still alive, but severely wounded. And one of these gunmen, knowing that she's a Christian, came to her, the story goes, grabbed her by the hair and lifted her head up and said in an angry voice straight into her, do you still believe in your God? And Rachel said, yes, I do. And he put the gun to her head and shot her dead. Years before, young Rachel wrote in her diary, she traced her hand and wrote this. These hands belong to Rachel Joy Scott and will someday touch millions of people's hearts. And I pray they touch your heart today. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I don't know what today will bring. And every time you get an opportunity to glorify God, you should do so. Believer, every time you get an opportunity to renew your commitment to the Lord, you should do so. Young person, if you're not sure that you're saved, you're probably not. Because the reality is, I know. When I'm saved, 1 John says, I have an unction with the Spirit. His Spirit witnesses with our spirit, Romans chapter 8, that we are the children of God. When you're saved, you know it. And if you don't know it, you're probably not, and you need to get saved now. Because now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And who knows? Praise God, we don't have the same gun problem that they have in the US. We don't have the same automatic rifles or guns in our community as they have in the US. And perhaps we don't have the same danger of someone coming here to camp and killing us all. All right. Beauty, we're safe. We don't have to worry. Some years ago, there was a camp just like this in Sweden. Yeah, and it happened again at the camp. Blokes went nuts with rifles and guns, and 22 young people lost their lives that day because this man was angry and wanted to kill the Christians. How long have you got? When will it happen? Do you want to take the risk? Because you see, what happened to Rachel Joy Scott? Because she knew the Savior, she's prepared to look at that gun and simply say, yes, He is my Lord. Yes, I believe in Him. Knowing that if He fires that gun, she is immediately in the presence of the Lord. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which is far better than the best that life can ever be, the Apostle Paul says. Great security, great hope there is in the message of the gospel, a message of hope. It's eternal hope. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and now Thursday. You've been hearing the same message, more or less. And some of you have responded to the Lord this week, and boy, we're rejoicing and glad. We love you all, but we also know some are still not there. And so I want to ask you, what hinders you today? What stops you from coming to know the Savior today? We're going to sing this simple little song. It's a powerful song. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to Him? And here's the relevant phrase for our camp. Time after time, He has waited before. And now, right now, this morning, He's waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door or how He wants to come in. We're going to sing this song through together, and then I'll pray. We're going to ask you just to leave the building, and anybody who wants to do business with God, maybe you're unsure, maybe you're not quite there yet, but I want to tell you, there's no guarantee, there's nothing that you can feel. It's a matter of your decision. Do you remember the little man, my little repentance man? He goes across, changes his mind, and walks the other way. It's an act of the will. I will have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Simple as that. Pray and say, Lord, come into my life. And you just stay in your seat when we leave, and someone will come and pray with you. Let's sing, The Savior is Waiting. Please stand. Thank you.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. If you'll take one step toward my Savior, my friend, he'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your doubt and darkness will end. Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. And the question is there at the end of that verse, what is your answer to him? And I ask that question to you again, Christian or non-Christian alike, what is your answer to him? Father God, we thank you again for your word and for the message that comes from it. And Father, for the conviction it brings to our hearts as Christians of how we should live, realizing it's just the little things that often destroy us. Father, for those who do not know you as Lord and Savior, or for those here this morning who still have doubts, we ask that you would do your work of conviction in their heart and mind, that they might be prepared to open their hearts so you can come in. We realize, Lord, that you want to come in and dwell with us. Your word teaches us that you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And oh, Father, we pray that young Christians and non-Christians alike will know and understand and be able to walk day by day, not with a feeling, not with some experience, but with the facts of God's word. Jesus said it, and I'm saved. He that has the Son has life. Oh, Father, I have the Son. That means I must have eternal life, because your word says it. Oh, Father, we pray that you might minister to each and every heart here, that they might understand that it's simply trusting you, no other sort of feelings or circumstances. And we commit this to you, Father, and we ask, Lord, if anybody here needs to be prayed with, anything they're not sure about, or they want to rededicate their life, or just to say, I want to get saved, Father, give them the boldness to sit down and stay in their seat while the rest of us go outside. We pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake and glory. And I don't mind how many times you do this as you grow in dealing with things of God. Even if you responded to some appeal earlier in the week and you still got something you need to sort out with the Lord, you have a leader come and pray with you and talk about that matter, then you just quietly sit down while the rest of us are dismissed. You may leave. Thank you. God bless you.